Good morning, Memphis, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope that you are having a great start to your Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday, January 26th, 2021. Hard to believe we're almost through the first month of 2021, but yet here we are. Time is flying by. We just wish that it would involve some Grizzlies games. Obviously, we are in the midst of a stretch of time where the Grizzlies are currently not playing due to contact tracing from at least one known COVID-19 positive case that's within the Grizzlies organization. It's led to five straight games now that the Grizzlies will have postponed, six overall. If you go back to the Minnesota Timberwolves game, there are indications that they hopefully will get their season back on track this upcoming Saturday, the 30th, against the San Antonio Spurs. A report, for instance, from Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian seemed to indicate, you know, at least through his channels, that the game for Saturday could be on. So it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies get their season back going, and certainly how these postponed games, will be approached, to be made up. If they are made up, those are certainly things that'll be answered in time. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can follow the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. And please listen, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think. We always want to make sure we are offering content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. We'll discuss the Grizzlies a bit more in detail upcoming in this show, but in the first segment, I'm going to look back and commemorate the one-year anniversary of one of the most tragic days in the history of sports, you know, especially in the NBA. And of course, that is today being the one-year anniversary of the horrific passing of Kobe Bryant. Something that was, just so unexpected and just so unfortunate with just a larger-than-life figure in Kobe Bryant. We'll talk a little bit about him, his daughter Gigi, and just, the overall impact, their legacy, for positive reasons, their legacy is certainly having. In the second segment, I'll also touch on how Kobe's legacy should serve as an example for several of the stars of yesterday in their interaction with stars of today. Far too many occurrences have happened in the recent past where previous stars of the NBA have had negative, interactions with today's stars, and it's just not a good look for the future. I'm going to talk about how Kobe is a really good example that more previous stars in the NBA should embrace in terms of their interactions with the current stars. And into the second segment and finishing out the show, I'll discuss how the Grizzlies are in a prime position for when they decide they want to make the big trade that they want to. They certainly have the assets. They certainly have a lot of variety and creativity in which they can make a deal, in which they can get a deal done quickly to bring in a significant talent. But let's get right into it. So obviously a year ago today, it was Sunday, and I remember vividly, I woke up, for the day. I was getting some stuff done around the house, and I got a notification on my phone, and it was from TMZ, and I look and I see it said Kobe Bryant has died. He's passed away. And I look and I'm like, okay, this can't be true. As a matter of fact, I was scrolling Twitter at the time, and I'm like, this can't be true. And then about 2 seconds later, when I was thinking that there's something had to not be right, I remembered how accurate TMZ typically is, and then it just was several hours of scrolling, trying to find more news information, seeing more and more verified accounts, stating that, Kobe Bryant had passed away. Unfortunately, the incident, also claimed the life of his daughter Gigi and several others. But just an absolutely horrific day that for many of us is going to be a fresh but just unfortunate memory that we're probably never going to shake, probably never going to forget where we were once this news passed. And obviously, just the overall impact and the overall, outpouring of reactions and emotion and, sadness that occurred in the days that followed was just surreal to see. In comparison, and I don't mean to make light of these situations, but, I'm a huge Atlanta Braves fan when it comes to baseball. And, this past weekend, we unfortunately lost, one of the biggest legends in the history of baseball, Hank Aaron, at the age of 86. And obviously, there were reaction, especially from around those who support the Braves, fans of the Braves have been involved in the Braves organization. There was an outpouring of emotion and, sadness in terms of the passing of, Hank Aaron, of course, across all of Major League Baseball as well. But it paled in comparison to the outpouring that happened with Kobe Bryant across all sports, or across the NBA, across sports in general, across, you know, all walks of life, all around the world. People were impacted by the unfortunate loss of Kobe Bryant. So many, you know, clips and, you know, so many interviews, so many words that were spoken, and you know, just overall emotion that was shown, you know, via Twitter, via videos, however it may have been, the impact of Kobe Bryant was clear, but I don't think anyone knew just how widespread his influence was. And it was just amazing to see that, unfortunately, you know, it just... the overall impact of his passing just really was the biggest indication of how valid of a larger-than-life influence he was for so many. I mean, and that's the thing about it. The other thing that, you know, I don't know if a lot of people realized, I myself didn't realize, is just how much of a direct impact he had on so many athletes. And we're not talking about them following him just because he was a great athlete. We're talking about how Kobe actually took time to focus on so many athletes across so many sports and influence them, impact them, mentor them, encourage them. So many accounts were shared, stories were shared with today's athletes about how Kobe inspired them. Ja Morant, for instance, you know, the night after Kobe passed, he had his signed Kobe Bryant number 24 Lakers jersey up in his locker, and he talked about how Kobe was just such an inspirational player. I don't directly know if he had too many interactions with Kobe. I'm sure he had, you know, one or two, you know, at least in his time coming into the NBA, but you could truly see that this wasn't just, you know, spoken words. This wasn't just words people were speaking out of kindness. These were heartfelt accounts of how a person touched so many lives while he was alive, and how even after his basketball career, the effort that he was putting towards women's basketball, the effort that he was putting towards his families and his daughters, the effort that he was putting into giving young girls, giving young kids opportunities through basketball, as well as mentoring several of the current and young stars in the NBA and across sports. He took so much time to give to others after he stopped playing basketball that his impact, just his legacy, just it cannot be put into words how influential and impactful it was on so many people. And that is the biggest thing to take away, you know, from, you know, what occurred, you know, a year ago. You know, his family came out a few weeks ago and they asked that there not be any references to what occurred that day. Obviously, everybody knows, you know, the tragic, you know, details of what surrounded, you know, his passing, his daughter's passing, and all those involved who unfortunately lost their lives that day. But they wanted to focus on just the overall impact that he made on so many. And I agree that that is certainly something that should not be forgotten, that should not be, watered down. That impact, that positive impact of the Mamba mentality, of how Kobe impacted so many people, of the effort that he put in to make so many people's lives better, that is the type of thing that, you know, needs to live on. That's the type of thing that, even more so than the amazing basketball player, the legendary basketball player that he was during his playing career, even more so was the contributions that he made towards others off the court. That's the thing that I think needs to be remembered about Kobe Bryant. And every year, you know, over the next several years, probably over the next several decades, January 26th is going to be a day that's, you know, going to, you know, unfortunately, you know, rekindle these feelings of sadness and frustration and just overall dismay because of what happened. But hopefully, if the perspective can shift from that, it's going to be hard, I know, especially in the first few years since it happened, but it's going to be hard to do. But if the perspective can shift while obviously memorizing him, you know, holding him in memorial, celebrating his life, celebrating his accomplishments. But if the perspective can shift towards the positive of celebrating who he is, what he stood for, and what he did for others, and taking that same approach of what Kobe did, applying it to ourselves so we can do the same for others, I think that that's the best way, obviously, to honor and remember him. And hopefully that will continue to occur. That same energy that we've seen, you know, in the days that followed, that same energy will certainly be there for years to come, not only around this time, but at all times, because of course we know right now this world certainly needs it, especially, you know, the United States. They certainly could use that same energy that Kobe showed on a daily basis, you know, after his playing career. So, you know, obviously just a horrific day, but, you know, while it unfortunately, you know, it seems like it takes an event like this to really understand the impact that a person of Kobe's stature made. There's a lot of positivity to really celebrate in terms of his life, his impact, you know, his daughter's life, as well as the others that were involved in that tragic event. There's so much positivity that, you know, Kobe represented, and that his legacy can stand for, that if we can simply embrace it, you know, we obviously can make, you know, just a horrific situation, again, one of the worst situations in the history of sports. There is a way to put a positive spin on it, and that's through the example that Kobe set. That's by embracing that, that's the best way to make the most of this situation, and hopefully is something, you know, we all are doing in whatever way we choose when it comes to our daily lives. So obviously just a very, you know, it's going to be a sad day, going to be plenty of words written, plenty of words spoken, you know, from so many different perspectives about what Kobe Bryant meant to people and about how, you know, they've dealt with, you know, his untimely passing over the past year, and just in general, what will be a sad day overall. Hopefully, people will continue to be able, you know, to press on, and, you know, with each day it becomes a bit easier to remember the positives of his life despite his untimely passing. But the thing about it is that it's not just, you know, me, you, and today's basketball players that really could, you know, embrace the example and apply how Kobe lived his life and what he did for others to their lives to make it better. Kobe really does serve as a shining example of how the previous stars of the NBA could impact the current stars of the NBA, and it would be a stark contrast to how we've seen those interactions and those impacts be here recently. Coming up, I'll talk about how Kobe's example that he showed after his retirement and before his passing, the example that Kobe displayed towards players in this league, that needs to be something that far more stars need to do instead of how they interact with stars today currently, including the negative interactions that we've recently seen. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Obviously, the football season has one more game left in it. The biggest day of the year, Super Bowl Sunday. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. While that certainly is an exciting thing to look forward to, unfortunately, there's only one football game left. However, that doesn't mean there are not plenty of sources of fun when it comes to sports. Obviously, this past weekend, the UFC fights constantly going on. They're a great source of fun. NBA and hockey seasons, MLB season, hopefully on the horizon. So many different ways for you to continue to enjoy sports despite the fact that football is almost over. And if your fun includes betting, I've got a great place for you to go that can really not only allow for you to have fun watching the game, but profit a little bit as well. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Borowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. So we discussed in the first segment, obviously, the impact that Kobe Bryant left, you know, in the wake of his untimely passing a year ago. Obviously, there will be several things today, written, spoken, several memoriams and ways in which people will honor the life of Kobe, his daughter Gigi, as well as, you know, all the people that were unfortunately involved, you know, in that tragic accident. And while the event itself is certainly something that is going to take years for millions across the world to completely, you know, move on from, because of how much Kobe meant to them. One thing that certainly does live on in a positive light is the effort that Kobe made towards making the lives better for everyone that he cared for, his family. You know, obviously, you know, women, when it came to women's basketball and you know, emphasizing and really spreading, you know, the just how awesome that sport is, you know, women's basketball in general, not only at the college and the WNBA level, but obviously as well, you know, at his daughter's age, just really putting a spotlight on women's basketball and trying to certainly, you know, move that forward, you know, into the overall, you know, light that is America and draw plenty of attention to it with how passionate his daughter Gigi was in the game and obviously how passionate Kobe was when it comes to, you know, the women's game of basketball as well. But the main thing is, in my opinion, in terms of the NBA today, is just how many NBA lives, how many NBA players truly looked at Kobe as a mentor. And we're not talking about that they just, you know, there are several players who had never really interacted with him who just followed by his example. It was from how much time Kobe put into being there for so many of our NBA players, no matter if they're towards the end of their career or if they had just started their career, like Ja Morant. Obviously, some of the closer players, such as Kyrie Irving and others that really had a special relationship with Kobe, they were truly impacted and likely still are, you know, by, you know, his passing. You saw the videos, just the reactions, you know, the emotions that were overflowing. You know, obviously, the in-game tributes that were there, the night and the days that followed his passing. It was because he impacted so many lives in a positive way. And while no one needs to try to emulate that when it comes to Kobe Bryant, because he's one of a kind when it came to just how much he impacted the NBA as a whole and the players that play in it and everyone that's involved in the NBA, the general understanding that Kobe took time to make sure that he had a positive connection with today's stars is certainly something that I feel more stars need to do in the game today, because it's becoming very unfortunate when it comes to the relationships and the interactions that you're seeing with some of the NBA's previous stars when they have the opportunity to interact with today's stars. It just seems like that many of the previous stars of the NBA, whether it's to try to remain relevant or just because they feel like this is the way things should be because of how it was back when they played, it seems like that they, you know, they feel that it's a positive or a good thing for them to create negativity and, for lack of a better word, beef with today's stars. We've seen Paul Pierce, we've seen Charles Barkley, obviously recently Shaquille O'Neal and others. We've seen how their relationships and interactions have certainly been strained and the negative, you know, interactions that they've had with players like Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. But it's now becoming more widespread, you know, in situations where you've got the NBA who is wanting to, once these legendary stars like the LeBron Jameses, the Chris Pauls, and other players such as that, those players are getting into the twilight of their careers. While they're still going to be around for several years likely, you know, their days in terms of, you know, being the main stars of the NBA, you can see their retirements, their eventual departure from the NBA on the horizon. And as a result, the NBA needs as much star power and as much depth of talented players as it can certainly get for the league to continue growing in popularity and to continue growing as an attractive brand. But when you see, you know, just larger than life, legendary characters and personas such as Shaquille O'Neal getting on inside the NBA, which is used to be, in my opinion, a wonderful show until there were too many interactions such as the one we've seen recently. But when you see him directly to their face criticize players who are emerging such as Christian Wood or wonderful young players such as Donovan Mitchell and just basically tell them to their face, "I'm telling you, I don't think you can improve. What's your reaction to that?" Who cares if you don't think that they can improve? Like, I don't care. I think of Shaq as being arguably the most dominant basketball player in the history of the NBA and having a great personality in the movies, in, you know, in his interaction with other players, you know, just in the highlights, in the YouTube clippings that you see. That's what I think of Shaq of. And I certainly understand where his opinion should be valued because of the stature that he has as a player, but when he does things like this, there's no need for it. They may think that it's entertaining. They may think that it's their place to show that tough love, but it's not. There's nothing positive that comes out of that interaction that you see with Shaq and these players, that you see with Charles Barkley and Kevin Durant. It, regardless of who's at fault, those interactions, there's just no place for them. There's too much area for potential positivity for these former players and current players to focus on to make the future of the NBA as bright as it possibly can be, for them to rely on this negative beef and these negative interactions to be why, to be how, you know, their relationships with, you know, between the previous stars and the current stars are remembered. There's no need for it. It takes away from the joy that inside the NBA should be. It takes away from the joy that fans should be able to get when they see stars of their childhood and current stars interacting. Nobody really wants to see that now because nobody really wants to, you know, have the negativity. It's great that it causes buzz. It's great that it causes news and content, just like, you know, obviously it is right now. But it needs to quit. That's just straightforward my opinion. And I think that by looking at just how impactful in a positive light Kobe Bryant was on the players in the NBA, that shows that there's plenty of potential for these previous players, if stars, if they were to put the effort in, for them to impact the current stars and the future stars of the NBA in the same light. A great example, though he's just 21, is Ja Morant. You see when he is on Twitter, you see when he interacts with upcoming high school stars, upcoming college stars, you see how he supports them, how he gets, you know, news out about them, how he even will attend their commitment ceremonies when they decide where they're going to school. That's the type of support players who are further in their career should show to younger players who are trying to get on their level. And that's the exact way that I feel these previous stars should support the NBA's current stars. So however these previous stars choose to conduct themselves, that's perfectly fine. But if we could get more interactions like you saw with Reggie and Riker Miller with Steph Curry the other night when Steph Curry passed Reggie Miller's three-point record, those type of interactions are the ones that should become viral. Those type of interactions are the ones that should be celebrated instead of the ones that you see between Shaq and other players. As a result, my hope in time is that, you know, again, these other players, so many of these older players who came out and showed so much emotion and showed just heartfelt, sincere reaction of what Kobe meant to them, then if he meant so much to them, it would seem that there would be a lot of good coming from them embracing how he interacted with these current stars. And if they did it in the same light, I think that that would be much more productive for the current NBA and the future of the NBA than the negative interactions that occur far too frequently right now. But of course, one thing that would make things better right now beyond a more positive relationship between the past and the present of the NBA would certainly be if the Grizzlies were to be playing. Coming up, instead of looking at the potential for a Grizzlies trade coming together, I'm instead going to change gears and look at the Grizzlies' schedule when they return to play and just how important the 1st of February is going to be to the Grizzlies' continued hope of making the playoffs. The new year has certainly come and gone by fast, but we still obviously are still well within the winter months. And of course, you may not be using your car as often, which could put it at an increased risk for car repairs to be needed. And hopefully that's not the case, but if it is, well, I certainly can't tell you how to do the car repairs themselves. I can tell you where to go to get the parts you need, and that's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a great support for anyone that needs car repairs. It's very easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, you'll find what you need, you know, quickly and effectively for you to be able to order it and get it in your hands as soon as possible. And it's likely RockAuto.com is going to have what you need, regardless of the part, regardless of the make and model. RockAuto.com is likely to have it. Whether you're someone who does their own repairs, you do repairs for others, or you need someone to do the repairs, RockAuto.com is going to be a great resource for you because it's also cost effective. This is a business that has been in place for over 20 years, a family owned business. They know that car repairs typically fall out of budget, so they're typically going to be very feasible as far as your costs go for you to be able to trust them. If you go to rockauto.com right now, let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars, Kobe Bryant. Coming up on tomorrow's episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, I'll look at how, if the Grizzlies wanted, I was going to discuss it in this episode, but due to time, I'm going to save it for tomorrow for a more detailed discussion. I'm going to go into detail to how the Grizzlies are actually in a very advantageous position for where they can go about making the significant trade we all know is likely on the horizon for them, how they have a variety of different ways that they can do it. Not really getting into the whens and whys of you know, what will occur, when it should happen, who they should target, why they should do it, all that different stuff, but more the how it could come together. And I'm going to use a little bit of historical precedence to show just how, you know, likely it is the Grizzlies could make a move for a player that they wanted with the assets that they have in place. That's coming up, obviously, on tomorrow's podcast. But for today, I want to shift gears a little bit. Obviously, we discussed, you know, the overall impact of Kobe honoring his legacy 1 year after his passing, how one way many of the, you know, stars of previous NBA generations can honor his legacy by having a more positive approach and interaction with today's stars. But in focusing back on the Grizzlies, I want to talk about something that I think is going to be very important for Memphis when it gets back going, and that is early success with its return to play when it comes to its schedule. So basically, the Grizzlies played the first half of January, and the second half of January has mostly been canceled. While six of the seven of their final seven games of January were not played due to COVID-19. Now, for whatever may occur, hopefully there is a very fair way in which the NBA has a plan in place to allow for the Grizzlies to make up these games so that they're on pace with the rest of the league. They're not going to have to, you know, in the second half of the season, you know, be at a disadvantage for traveling all over the place to make up these games. Hopefully there's a resolution in mind. That is, you know, to be seen. And obviously, you know, a resolution won't likely come for that for another few months. But one thing that is certainly in place is that the Grizzlies are going to have to immediately get back in the groove as much as they can when it comes to their schedule, because their schedule only gets tougher from what it was in the previous few weeks before the interruption in their schedule. It gets much tougher when they come back, with plenty of implications on their potential playoff aspirations in the Western Conference. When the Grizzlies return, they'll immediately be in San Antonio starting Saturday for two games, one Saturday and one Monday, in which they will play the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs right now are right with the Grizzlies, though obviously they played a few more games. They're right with the Grizzlies in terms of being towards the mid to latter half of the Western Conference playoff conversation, as well as the Spurs right now are right at the top of the Southwest Division. So two huge games which potentially could have a big swing in the standings. It will be very important for the Grizzlies to at least get a split, because if they can at least get a split or maybe even sweep this series against the Spurs, that's a really good development for them in terms of their own division and obviously in terms of the Western Conference standings in direct games against another team that likely is going to be where the Grizzlies are going to be towards the end of the season with their playoff pursuits. After that second game in San Antonio, the Grizzlies are going to turn right around and they're going to head to Indiana. They're going to play on the road in back-to-back nights. Their third game in four nights, they're going to be playing the Indiana Pacers on the road again. Another team that has been very tough this season and is playing honestly better than many likely would have thought. That's something else the Grizzlies are going to have to, you know, focus on. Three games in four nights coming right off this interruption in the season, though they're likely going to be fresh and they're going to have health on their side. It's not an easy transition, especially against very good competition. So the Grizzlies are going to have to find some way to make sure that at the very least, they at least win one game over those three contests for them to at least be .500. Because then following three games in four nights, the Grizzlies then come home for a four-game homestand. And while the competition gets a little bit easier in terms of, you know, how teams have performed this season, it doesn't, you know, it still remains tough. They will welcome the Rockets on Thursday, you know, February the 4th. They'll welcome the Rockets to the FedEx Forum. They then, 2 days later, will welcome the Pelicans. So that's two teams who the Grizzlies are ahead of in the standings, but still are playing very good basketball when they are at full health. And also, obviously, are division opponents for the Grizzlies, and that will certainly help impact the division record. That's the big thing about when the Grizzlies get back to playing and getting into February. four of their first five games are going to be against Southwest Division opponents. This stretch right here could really, really be looked back on as potentially being the biggest stretch of the season for where the Grizzlies finish in their own standings, where if they could finish in the top two, that certainly is a boost to their playoff hopes. And then obviously after the game against the Rockets and the Pelicans, they'll play the Raptors and the Hornets. So before Valentine's Day and you know, after the four-game homestand, they make another West Coast trip in which they'll play in LA, and they'll also play in Sacramento. So the Grizzlies have plenty of interesting games coming up. Besides the Lakers and the Pacers, you know, none of these teams, you know, really stand out as true, you know, playoff locks. I think the Pacers are pretty much a playoff lock in the Eastern Conference. But it's clear that the Grizzlies, they're not going to have any, you know, clear games in which they're going to be favored. They're going to be in games against opponents that they can match up with, but they're going to be playing against opponents that are going to be tough. And so it's going to be very important for the Grizzlies to at least have maybe through their first, between when they come back for the season, the nine games that happen from when they come back, hopefully this Saturday through Valentine's Day, at the very least, the Grizzlies are going to have a 4-5 record. If they can still be at the 500 or better record by the time they get to Valentine's Day, I think that that's going to be a really big boost for them. Really encouraging, because hopefully by that time you've got Justice, Jaren, and Jonas back. And not only do you have them back, you have them, you know, getting back into the groove, into the full swing of being able to play 30 to 35 minutes a night, to where the Grizzlies are really able to feature their best talents as much as possible. So a tough stretch, one that includes plenty of, you know, very compelling and impactful games for the Southwest Division. The Grizzlies, you know, obviously there's no doubt they're going to be focused, but with whatever rust that they may have to overcome, it's going to quickly need to be overcome, especially with four of their first five games when they come back being against Southwest opponents. A critical stretch to the season, you know, that hopefully the Grizzlies are going to be up for, and that they'll continue to make progress towards, you know, the playoffs that they aspire to be involved with. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Tomorrow, again, we're going to discuss how the Grizzlies truly are in an advantageous position to really have the opportunity to get any level of target that they feel necessary to add in the coming months and years to add to this team. Some great work from our front office could lead to eventual great results when we feel the time is needed to add a significant talent. We'll discuss that in detail on tomorrow's show of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Until then, hope you have a great day. Hope it continues to be the start of a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.